Good morning, Delaware. It's a gorgeous morning, isn't it? It's going to be a great weekend for the horse parade. It's just one of those weekends that makes you glad you're alive and you're living in Ohio.
I am glad I'm alive and living in Ohio.
I tell you, the thing that Sherry should have told Mark, though, when he's there at the horse parade is be careful where you step.
Oh, yeah. People make grids in the middle of their neighborhood roads, and it's like bingo.
All right.
Yeah. It's so much fun. If you've never been to the horse parade, it's a real, real amazing experience in Delaware.
It sure is. And the Clydesdales are here. It's just an amazing weekend and great lead up to the fair next week.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be there for the jug.
Mm-hmm.
So, Used to bet on horses, then realized they never bet on me, so the heck with it. So,
yeah, how rude.
Now I just go and show up and watch the thing. So
I've given all of a $2 bet on a horse before, and that was, I think, given to me by the Leadership Delaware class.
So we are delighted to welcome today our guests from the Delaware County Board of Developmental Disabilities, and that is Chris Hodge, the superintendent. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, George. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And Ann Flannery, the public information officer for the district. Good morning.
Glad to be here.
And we're going to be talking about National Disability Voter Registration Week. So I wanted to get that right because I'm going to trip over it at least twice during the show.
I always feel like the acronym is easier than the actual word in this case.
NDVRD?
Yes. NDVRW.
Okay. Okay, great.
That sounds a little Swedish.
It's like something you buy at IKEA.
Yeah, the NDVRW.
So have you been reading something in Swedish this week?
Yeah. You know, coincidentally, the moment that I am in my current book, they are in a little town near Sweden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. So what is that book?
It is called The Midnight Library, and it is by Matt Haig.
Eventually, I will get to read that.
It's very short. As far as a audiobook goes, it is only 9 hours, and so I imagine the print version of that is probably very, you know, maybe 300 pages or so. The general concept here is Nora Seed is a woman in her mid-30s, and she is quite disappointed with the way that her life has turned out at this point of life. She doesn't have a great relationship with her brother. She has lost both of her parents. She just this morning was fired from her job. And
sounds like a country song.
I know. Yeah. I mean, her dog left her and her truck, you know, got broke down. So and on her she decided about 2 days before her wedding that it wasn't going to work out. So she really at this point feels like she has no one and nothing. And so the narrator, it's kind of one of those nice little narrators. It's like 3 hours before Nora decided to die, you know, and that's how you begin each section. And it's a countdown, you realize, to midnight. And what happens when she gets to midnight is that she has completely resolved that she no longer belongs with us on this earth. And she goes to sleep and wakes up in what seems to be something of a library of sorts. And this is one of those books where if you're a person who loves libraries and reads lots of books, it's a book about books for people who love books.
Okay, great. And I kinda like those books.
Exactly. And there is a woman who seems to be the curator of this library or the librarian who also happened to be Nora's librarian when she was a child at her school. Mm-hmm. And she explains to her that really, you had lots of choices that you could have made over the course of this life, and all of those choices branched off into different alternate realities, of course, and the multiverse, if you will. And, you know, she has an opportunity before she decides that she really doesn't want to be part of this life at all to try on some other lives. And so she has to be specific with her request. She has to say, you know, I might look back at something that I regret. So I might look back at a choice that I made to not follow through with my love of swimming. And I might see what a life looks like where I really pursued my passion of swimming and I became an Olympic medalist. And so the librarian goes through the archives, finds the book where that is a possibility. Nora opens it up, and then she gets to try on that life for a little bit. And the rule is that if she's happy and she remains happy, she can remain in that life. But the moment that she begins to feel regret again or disappointment or dismay, then shoop, she just goes right back to the midnight library. And that's not the life for her.
Interesting.
And so we're at about, I'm at about halfway point in this book, and she's thought about many of her life regrets, and she's trying a lot of them on. The interesting part that I think that this author chose is that she doesn't pop into these past lives. She pops into them at her current age. So she pops into them at, you know, 35. But she doesn't pop into them with the knowledge that that self had. So she's almost like trying to figure out the mystery of that life. You know, she kind of
She remembers her life before she went into the library, but she doesn't remember the life of this person before that person was 35.
Exactly.
Ah, okay.
Yes. So in the life where she is a successful medalist, an Olympic medalist, she wakes up and she's in a hotel room and she has to gather. Why am I in a hotel room? She looks at her phone. Her phone's going off at 6:30. Why is the alarm going off at 6:30? and then she looks at her schedule for the day and she's about to speak in front of a large audience of about 1,000 people. So she's got to figure out what she's going to do for that because she doesn't have the knowledge of that person. And so she goes and she tries on all these different lives. It's really entertaining. It's lovely. It's a quick read. It's got a lot of nice little kind of philosophy snippets in it. And though the overall concept seems heavy, it's written very lightly. So I would definitely recommend it. It's called The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. And I have been on the wait list for this for quite some time, and I'm very happy that I have it now.
Sounds good. Well, I hope everybody forgets it because then I can review it again when
there we go. Yes,
my turn. So, Chris, Anne, any books, or magazines, newspapers, anything you want to talk about that you've been reading or listening to or binging on recently?
Movies and Netflix too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Books wise, I tend to like always go back to the traditional books. So you know, you could do the beach reads when you're at the beach.
Mm-hmm.
But overwhelmingly, I'm really all about reading people like Stephen Covey, Brené Brown, those types of things kind of help. And traditionally, you know, we go back on the principle-based thinking. So anything I can get my hands on that helps us just kind of figure out who we are and then, you know, how we want to work in our programs and work with people, that's kind of what we focus on.
Excellent. Anne, you have anything you want to throw in here?
Well, you know, I have a 5-month-old. So we have been reading a lot of the children's books from the Delaware Library.
Yay.
Our latest read was Dear Tabby, which is like Dear Abby, but it's a cat, an aller cat that provides advice to her fellow friends.
Basically, just push everything off the counter.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was hilarious. We were laughing out loud. So if you need a good quick read, I would recommend.
All right. That sounds like fun. Yeah.
That's adorable.
So I've been going through, well, I guess it was caused by Hamilton, but I'm in a Lafayette mood at the moment.
Yes.
I met Nathan Hale, who is the author of The Hazardous Tales. I mean, they're history graphic novels. He actually autographed a little American stamp of Lafayette for me, and I have it in my office. And so I was reading this the other day, picked it up at the library. And then at the same time, I was reading a review in The New Yorker of two new books about Lafayette. And the amazing thing is, Nathan Hale's book, this little short graphic novel, covers what these 300, 400, and 500 page books do in about 80 pages.
That is talent.
It is really good talent. And it does it with a little bit of snark, but really well researched.
Mm-hmm.
So Lafayette, the thing about the reviews that I read in The New Yorker about these two new books was the American version of who Lafayette was and the French version of who Lafayette was are completely different. For the French, Lafayette's American sojourn was a little bit of anti-royalist and kind of a secret plot to drag France into the war against England. In England, in America, of course, he's seen as a great organizer of our troops and the great hero. And then after he leaves, we don't think about him again until he comes back to make that triumphant tour in the 1820s.
Mm-hmm.
But he was deeply involved in the French Revolution. He was involved in the Napoleonic era, all of this stuff in France. So it's really interesting. Nathan Hale's book only covers as far as the Revolution. He goes back to France at the end of the Revolution. That's the end of this book. The rest of his life is just as interesting. So this is called Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales, Lafayette. Great artwork. Tells the story in a very compact way. Actually, any of Nathan Hale's Hazardous Tales, I can't recommend highly enough because they are all really well done. I think I've talked about two or three of them in the past. So I would recommend those. And these little graphic novels that tell these histories, like I said, he does great research. So they're really good stories. It's not like reading, listening to Mr. Peabody's history. Right. He doesn't do it for laughs. He does it
Wishbone.
To actually tell
that
the story.
That would have been my generation.
Wishbone would have been perfect. Yeah, but I think Wishbone's history is probably just about as specious as Mr. Peabody.
Right.
And
although I will say the only way that I ever see Lafayette is as Davy Diggs from Hamilton.
Sure, yeah.
That is the only Lafayette. He is framed in my office, in fact.
So we were going to be right back to talk about National Disabilities Voters Registration Week. Got it right this time. I'm still going to hit it wrong. Also, a lot of stuff that the Friends are doing coming up, so I want to talk about that a little bit in the second half of the show. So please, stay tuned. On the board, thank you very much, Gage, for your engineering expertise for the show here.
Well, thank you, George.
Before we start talking about the National Disability Voter Registration Week.
That was your best yet.
Thank you. I have a couple of announcements from the Friends of the Library. They've got a lot coming up. Tomorrow, the Powell Street Sale, September 12th from 9 to 4:30. They'll be selling children's books at their booth. They'll also have some information about our new branch. And September being Library Card Sign-Up Month, they'll have that information at their booth. People have been asking us for weeks, when are we going to start having book sales again? October 15th, Friday, from 5 to 8 at Delaware, we'll have a book sale. And then the next day, Saturday, from 9 to 4, that'll be in the garage. On the Saturday, the same day, the October 16th, we'll be selling audiobooks and CDs and DVDs in the community room. So that'll be all Delaware, October 15th and 16th. And then at Orange, we have a one-day sale, November 5th. That's a Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Finally, the Friends of the Library are also doing a flower sale again, which will kick off on October 15th through the 29th with flowers from that will help support the Friends of the Library and the Delaware County Historical Society. The flowers are provided by Fort Myers. If you know anything about that, you know the flowers are going to be absolutely gorgeous. So keep an eye out for that sale coming up soon. So I'm delighted to welcome Chris Hodge and Ann Flannery to the show and to talk about National Disability Voter Registration Week.
You're
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
And DVRBNW. Yeah.
Right. Take it away.
So, yeah, we have been working together for a little bit of time. The library has always been registering people to vote, but this is a very extra special holiday. Can you tell us a little bit about what the extra special point is for this coming week?
Well, not only are we celebrating National Disability Voter Registration Week, that is hard to say, but we are also celebrating Direct Support Professional Appreciation Week. So we have two very important things happening at the same time here. So we appreciate our collaboration with you in promoting voter registration for the people we support, which are people with developmental disabilities throughout their lifespan. We also are highlighting the need for people to register to vote and to actually vote. Our special thing regarding, we call it DSP Appreciation Week, really honors the people that support the folks we serve. Mm-hmm. So these are the people that provide the direct care for people with disabilities. They do this in their homes. They do this at work. They provide transportation, just a multitude of things. And the work they do is absolutely valued, appreciated, and needed. So this year, these 2 weeks happen at the same time, and it's just, like you said, extra special celebration for us.
I think I read somewhere that it's some number of 38 million individuals are of voting age and have some sort of developmental disability, and they get out and they vote. I mean, this is a huge part of our population, and they have a voice just like every other person of voting age does. And there are a lot of myths that come around somebody who, might need assistance when voting. Can you dispel some of those myths and say what kind of rights somebody has when they go to the polls?
Right. So no matter who you are when you go to the poll, whether you have a disability or not, you have the right to vote. You have the right to ask for assistance. You have the right to bring somebody to help you along with that process. If you go into the voting process without anybody there and you need help, there are people at the voting booths that can help you. So, and a lot of people aren't aware of that, mm-hmm. But that is absolutely true. And even if you have a legal guardian assigned by the court, you can still have somebody assist you with voting. So I think a lot of people don't know that, mm-hmm. But we really push voting. There's a lot of advocacy that needs to happen for people with disabilities, and to just encourage people to vote and to advocate for themselves is most important.
Yeah. And so I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that the best time to get registered is before the deadline. Yes. And the deadline this year is October 4th for anyone who wants to vote in the general election, which will happen on November 2nd. And you guys might have something happening in that general election on November 2nd.
Actually, yes, we do. So we have a levy on the ballot. It is a renewal levy with a reduction. And so, as always, we are just so thankful to the voters in Delaware County for believing in our programs and what we do. And at this point, every 5 years this happens, we ask for a renewal, and we've been able to take a look at everything and have a slight reduction for people. So we're very excited. Our services and supports for people depend on this levy.
That's so great. Thank you for telling us a little bit about that. And the are you doing anything special? I know we are all wearing buttons today that say that we are registered to vote. What other things can people look for this week, this coming week?
Well, with regard to recognition, our board actually approved a proclamation last night for Direct Support Professional Week. I know on Monday we will all be at the commissioner's office, and we will be celebrating the National Disability Voter Registration Week with a proclamation from the commissioners, as well as a proclamation appreciating our direct support professionals. So we're doing both of those things on our end with our DSPs, as we call them. We're providing gifts to them, and we're acknowledging them through a bunch of different ways, through social media, through personal note cards sent to them. So we're doing that as well. With regarding the voter registration, we are we're here to promote this. We are promoting it with our SSAs and the people we support through our staff, making sure people are voting, making sure they're registered. So it's an all-out push on both ends for us.
Yeah. So in case you don't know, all public libraries in the state of Ohio are codified. We are in the Ohio Revised Code that we are allowed to accept voter registration forms.
Correct. Yeah. We can. You can pick up the forms. You can fill them out. We can accept them up to registration time. Please stop by any of our locations. You can pick up the forms. You can fill them out. You can drop them off, and you'll be on your way to be ready to vote in November.
Yeah, it's one of the really nice services that we can provide as a library, that we can not only print that off and have you fill it out, and we are allowed to take it to the Board of Elections on your behalf.
What we can't do is take your absentee ballot.
That's correct.
That is not legal, but we can take your voter registration form and make sure that they get it in time so that you are officially registered to vote in your precinct.
Yeah. I will say, if you visit DelawareLibrary.org/vote, there is a lot of information on that page. You can also go to the Ohio Secretary of State's page, and you can visit it'll be olvr.ohiosos.gov, and that'll give you an opportunity to also register to vote entirely online. So right. You can even save yourself a trip. We do have some really wonderful little one-page flyers that we'll have at all of our library branches that you'll have within the Board of Developmental Disabilities, and it has all that information for you with the handy-dandy QR codes that I never thought would make a comeback. But
they apparently have, thanks because to COVID. They're so touch-free,
they
yes.
They did.
They make perfect sense. So great. Well, this is really interesting, and I'm glad we're able to cooperate on this. And it'll be great to see the commissioners on Monday. I think our board president, Michael Butler, is going to be there as well to be part of this. So we're really excited about that. So thank you. I do have a correction to make. I said that the street sale was tomorrow, Saturday. It is actually Sunday in Powell. The Powell street sale is Sunday, September 12th, not Saturday. So I apologize for that. I think I still have the time right. I think it's still 9 to 4:30. But
that's a busy Sunday. So
yes,
you go to
very
Powell,
busy Sunday.
You buy your books, and then you get back to Delaware, you find a parking space, and then you go to the horse parade.
And since the library's closed, feel free to park in the library parking lot.
Oh, that's kind of you.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just a big guy. What can I say?
guy with a big heart.
Well, I'm also looking forward tomorrow night to seeing The Odd Couple with Arena Fair. Dave Heminowski, who's a fellow Rotarian, helps appoint part of our board, and is just a mensch, is playing Oscar.
That's great.
Now, I would have cast him as Felix, but that's why I've never gotten to direct theater. But we'll see what happens. So,
where is that being performed?
It's being performed at Willis, at the auditorium at Willis Education Center.
They do such a good job there.
They do indeed.
Hey, quick final plug for our guests today, Anne and Chris. If people want services from the Delaware County Board of Developmental Disabilities, where do they go? What do they do?
So the easiest way is to visit our website, www.dcbdd.org, and they can go into our intake and eligibility section to learn about how to become eligible for services.
And that spans everything? I mean, what would be something that you might not expect that somebody could receive services for?
Well, I think the most important part is you can get services throughout your lifespan. So we have birth to three, which is early intervention, and then we have three and on up. And so birth to three is early intervention, so that involves a lot of therapies and teamwork. But with the Service and Support Administration, there's a multitude of services that can happen. We collaborate with Jobs and Family Services for waiver services. And so people can have help in the home. They can have help in the community. It's really important to us that people are in the community, help with job attainment, help with transportation, just a multitude of things.
That's great. I've always been impressed by how much your board does with with the resources and facilities you have. Just a great panoply of services, and also the cooperation you do in the community with other organizations is really impressive.
Yeah, including our Liberty branch. We've even got some input that's been coming from the board for our upcoming Liberty branch, which you guys have been wonderful for.
And the library has been a great inclusive employer for some of the people that we serve, so we really always appreciate that too.
So great. It's a great relationship. Got a couple of things coming up at the library. Story times are back, as we said last week. And as long as the weather holds up, we will continue to do them outside. Now, major change at Powell. If you're coming to today's story time at Powell, it is not at Liberty at Library Park. We are at Adventure Park because the parking lot for Library Park is being repaved.
Yeah.
And so for the next week, this week, next week, maybe right through
the 24th.
They're going to be at Adventure Park instead of there. So there'll be people there pointing you in the right direction. And when you see all the equipment, you'll know you don't want to be back there. But it's at 10:30 today. We do have a number of other story times next week. We're back on our schedule for doing story times at the branches. I want to point up one of our book groups this week. Vicky's book group is doing This Tender Land by William Kent Krueger. I hope it's either Krueger or Krieger. I never know which way to pronounce that.
Yeah.
The reason I'm pointing this out is because next spring, he is going to be the guest of the Friends of the Library. We're doing a program with him. So if you want to get a little advance notice on that one or a little ahead of yourself on this, participate in Vicky's book club coming up next week.
You heard it here first. That's news to me.
Yeah, well, they've been working on this for quite a while. So
that's great.
Gene Whitlinger, who does such a great job lining up our speakers, has been working on this one for a while.
That's awesome. And I'll give one more plug. We have a program coming up at two locations this coming week called Cosplay Basics. It's at Delaware one day, and then it's at Orange on another day. And you can, you don't need to pre-register. You just need to show up. And Megan Shoemaker is going to show you basically what is cosplay. Well, it's, you know, playing in a costume. And what is a costume? It's anything from anything that you love. So from Loki to Care Bears. It's all over the place. And so she's going to give you some tips on how to make the best costumes. And that's coming up as a pitch for our great Geek Fest.
That's right. If you're interested, it is on, where is the date on here? Oh, yeah, there we go. It's Wednesday, September 15th at Delaware from 6 to 7. And then it's repeated Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. at Orange. So,
yeah,
we'll have some fun with that. So, again, I want to thank Chris Hodge and for being here from the Board of Developmental Disabilities. Thank you very much, and thanks again for all your great service. Thank you, Gage. Always a pleasure working with you.
My pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
That is. And so we will see you in the stacks.